Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. Welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist building families and communities in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics focus on real issues that confront families and communities. Yours truly, Reverend Dockery, is your host. We engage various experts and individuals in fields with experience, different subject matters, and provocative conversation. But more importantly, you, our listening audience, is important that we engage you as well. This serves as a catalyst for our national dialogue as we strive to share this information across America in a number of venues and cities. All right. What killed little man? Examination of black-on-black violence. Concept of black-on-black crime has roots in the struggle of black people in America, specifically the generation of the 1960s was affected by discouragement, socioeconomic frustration. Ultimately, the family unit became extinct due to economic, social, and political instigations. As a function of survival, little man took on the mentality of kill or be killed. Sadly, over the last three decades, he has only managed to destroy those closest to him. Tonight, we're going to talk about it and answer the question, just what killed little man, as we examine black-on-black violence. We're grateful to have with us our special guest tonight, Mr. Brandon Orr. His grandmother is an iconic figure, his late grandmother, Miss Sister Bernice Bonds, Minister Bernice Bonds, rest her soul. She was an icon around Nashville, and her mother was very instrumental in the Democratic Party, promoting great causes and the upliftment of people. And this is her grandson that's with us tonight, Mr. Brendan Orr. We're grateful to have him. He's a native Nashvillian, a product of Metro Public Schools, and a fine young man. We're great. We're going to bring him on in just a little bit, and he's going to share with us in our dialogue tonight. I believe he has a perspective that may be most useful. If you're listening in for the very first time, listening on Facebook, feel free to join with us, share your comments, your questions. We'll be happy to engage you accordingly. The number to call in live tonight, we're streaming live tonight, 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. We will love to engage your comments, your questions, and just have you participate with us in our dialogue. We have Pastor Ricky Waller, who is a regular panelist with us, and the author of the book, very powerful book, Still High, who has worked with us, and he continues to, every time one of you go to our website and make a contribution, he makes a contribution to our traveling lecture series. We're grateful for him as well. He'll be joining us tonight. All right, having said all of that, we're going to go into our monologue and get right into our discussion. Again, thank you, Facebook friends, for your participation on this past Thursday. We do look forward to having you join us again tonight. And again, we invite you to go to our questions thread, which we're going to raise those questions tonight in our dialogue, as well as share your answers, your responses. That's how we grow. That's the whole point of this. In each of the cities, that's what we want to do. So we're streaming here from Nashville, Tennessee. Wherever you are in the world, we're happy to entertain you. Okay, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead now and begin the monologue, and we'll bring our guest in here in just a second. Again, the topic is What Killed Little Man? Examination of Black-on-Black Violence. Genesis, the fourth chapter in the 8th through the 10th verse reads, in verse 8, Genesis, fourth chapter, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Let's begin by defining or telling you, introducing you to little man. You know, who is little man? You understand? Every man, and I say capital M-A-N, that's a noun, a person, is great in stature because of his divinity and the natural right that God gave him in the world that makes him tall. The colloquial phrase, little man, is an ethnic euphemism which connotes a male person who aspires to become a man. But he's stuck in the functional stage of a naive and immature boy. Now, this ethnic concept has roots in the Negro, once called colored, black, Afro, and now today African-American experience. Same group of people we're talking about, though. Little man is the product of a male and a female who hooked up and produced life, but they did so without the promise of pro-social nurturing, rearing. So he grew up in a social environment and under dire economic conditions that forced him to hustle for his own survival at an early age. As a direct consequence of having to make adult-like decisions for himself, he took on the notion of thought, listen, I'm a little man myself. You know, he's from urban America. That's any of the cities. And, you know, we're targeting 13 different cities now. Any one of them, pick any one of them. That's where he's from. He was educated in the school of hard knocks, trained by pimps, hustlers, players, gangsters, slicksters. He holds credentials within the criminal justice system, starting as a young man. His life expectancy is around 25 years old, if he's sharp enough to survive the streets, that is. The United States Center for Disease Control reports that the leading cause of death for little man is homicide and other little mans that are between the age of 13 and 25. The leading cause of death for them is homicide. Well, what is homicide, Doctor? Homicide is the deliberate and unlawful killing of one little man by another little man. Unfortunately, for the last few years, when the Federal Bureau of Investigation made their annual reports, this number hadn't changed. 50% of all homicides committed in America involve little men or African Americans. 95% of those African American homicides are reported to result from one black little man killing another black little man due to some sort of violence. Now, it begs the question, what was it that killed little man? Let's look at it. Let's look at it for a second. And as we look at it, I want us to be honest about this thing, okay? There are three primary causes of disease, okay? And a disease is a particular quality or habit or disposition that is regarded and said to adversely affect a person or a people, a group of people. Now, if a disease is not properly treated, it can lead to death. Those causes that we talked about, those three causes, include natural or biological origin, could be passed down from one generation to the next through your blood, through your genes, caused by certain behaviors or risky type activities, or via contact with life-threatening conditions within an environment. Now, generally speaking, little man is born in a social experience and environment where he is infected with what we're going to call or refer to tonight as GTS, or ghetto trap syndrome. This is a socially, economically engineered disease where little man is born in a broken home, he lives in a poor community, receives a substandard formal education. He's exposed to acts of violence, either through the television or in reality. And therefore, he feels as though he's always got to be on the ready to kill or be killed. Furthermore, in his mind, violence is perceived as a necessary tool of survival. I got to have that Nina or that 9 on me all the time. All right, now let's consider what kind of hope is there for little man? Is there any hope for him, or do we just give up on him? Then we're going to bring our guest in. You can give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Now, when we talk about hope for little man, it never ceased to amaze me how community stakeholders, they refer to themselves as, they regularly meet, plan, and discuss the plight of little man. Educators, politicians, law enforcement officials, social workers, businessmen, nonprofit provocateurs, and even preachers. But for the last three decades, 30 years or better, none of them have been able to deal with ghetto trap syndrome, this issue that is affecting little man. They don't seem to know enough about it. All this time they've been meeting, they still ain't got it together. It begs the question, what's the problem? What's really going on? What's really going on? I'm glad to have with me tonight my special guest, Brendan Orr, with us, and Pastor Ricky Wallace on the line. Good evening, Brother Orr. How you doing, sir?
I'm blessed.
Can you hear me,
man.
Brother
Thank
Orr?
You. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Thanks for joining us. I'm going to ask you a few questions tonight, and listen, we're in the boxing ring now, Brother Orr. Take the gloves off, okay? You ain't got to worry about holding back no punches. Pastor Wallace, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing, Pastor Doctor?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine. You all heard my monologue. What about it? What about it? Where did I go wrong? Get me straight now.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, we got something right here. That...
No, you didn't go wrong.
Okay. Talk in your phone, close in your phone there, brother, or if you don't mind, so we can hear you clearly. Can you hear me, Pastor? How about you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah,
oh,
I can hear you now.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. We got you now. We got you now. So what were you saying, Brother Orr?
Pastor Doc, your monologue,
huh?
You touched a lot of nerves, man. I say monologue touched a lot of nerves. You know, you say GTS syndrome. a lot of us that grew up, you know, in certain circumstances,
mm-hmm.
I would say a lot of us, we haven't been talked to or spoke to about mental health. A lot of things that are going on in the streets when it's involving a little man,
right.
Man, a hug and a conversation, it goes a long way. And that's one thing I appreciate you for, Pastor.
Praise
you know,
God.
You've been up and down everything, but you still came out on the other end of things very, very prosperous and blessed.
Well, thank you, sir.
One thing that people have to understand, a lot of us, as a generation, we suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And not the type of post-traumatic stress that's coming back from war, but think about the wars that's in our lives that we have to deal with just as black people. Let's just take the black man off the table, just as black people as the general.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We haven't been able to deal with that post-traumatic stress that we grew up going through, with seeing what our parents had to deal with, see what our grandparents had to deal with, and if some of us are still blessed, see what our great-grandparents had to deal with. So,
okay.
That's the beginning of what I have to say about that.
All right. Wow, man. I meant powerful stuff, powerful stuff. Pastor, you were going to say something? I see we got 1098 with us. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
All right. Pastor, were you going to say something?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I was able to post up, I would say, and listen and make sure what we are talking about is going to be, as it always has been, valuable for whoever it is that's tuned in. And I want to thank the young brother for coming in tonight to share with us. What I do know about you made known of the trap, and when you put emphasis on that, there's a plan that has been placed in motion. And the plan is for it to work. And when you don't know any better, you cannot do any better.
Right.
So this is what the plan to make sure that one doesn't know any better. So therefore, you won't be able to apply what you would do. You know, Paul said, you know, if I do that I wouldn't do, it is no longer I that do it. But it's what's inside of me that's doing it, you see? And so I understand you're the man that you're talking about because, yes, I've been that little fella. And I understand what the enemy meant for bad. He succeeded for a substantial amount of time in my life. But I'm so glad, you know, that God stepped in and, you know, and made a powerful move in my life by way of showing me a different avenue. And it's so many today, man, just don't know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy.
And that's
the little man to get in the trap, you know. And the trap does not look like a trap. So, you know, it's a lot of things going on. So I'm just glad that he came in to talk with us tonight and for everyone that's tuned in. Yes, sir.
Brandon.
Yes, sir.
What
do
you think I talked about what GTS is. We defined it, right? We described it.
Yes,
and if I could just go back there for just a second and reiterate on that just for a second. I know I see you 9906. I see you in the house. Give me 1 second at 9906. If I could just reiterate that, Brandon, and then and now get you to come in, then we're going to go to 9906. When you really think about it, it is not just one thing, but it's a group of social economic stimulus. But let's consider that somebody created these things, man. And little man grow up, don't have a clue who got his hands on his back, who's pushing, who's making him dress the way he dressed, who's giving him the appetite to obey his thirst. You understand what I'm saying? Who's telling him that you got a craving that night? Are you with me? Are you with me there, Brandon? So,
yes, sir.
Talk to me about that right quickly, man. This socially engineered condition that caused little man to kill himself or to be killed, and then we're gonna go to 9906.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor Doctor, now we live in a society that as a millennial we grew up with the internet just booming,
right?
Social media,
right? Right.
The visual effects of what the government and everyone wants us to see, you know,
right.
What to us with our eyes, what makes us feel good inside. my generation like to mask things, and again, it goes back to when I said, a conversation in a hood goes a long way.
Wow.
If you sit down and just don't judge a brother. Don't tell him, man, pull your pants up. Oh, you smell. You like, now, sit down and talk to the brother. See what he been through. You know, man, like, again, I say, and y'all have to excuse me for stuttering nerves. This is my first radio conversation.
No, take your time, brother. You're doing good.
To answer your question, what got everyone caught up, all the little men of this generation,
mm-hmm.
is visual
effect. Wow.
Everything looks
right. Wow. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Hold on 1 second. Let me go to 615-9906. I see you 1098. You know you at home 1098, so just get in where you fit in. Let me go to 9906. Go ahead. You're welcome to talk straight. You're on live.
All right. How y'all doing tonight?
Great.
The conversation. I think sometimes we get caught up in the hype of what is promoted. And what I'm saying, I hear regularly people talking about black on black crime. But I don't hear any other races on race. There's no white on white crime, no whatever Mexican on Mexican. All I hear is black on black crime. And
okay.
When I go and look at the statistics, I believe, again, that we've been overhyped with this thought. Don't get me wrong. It is too much black-on-black crime. But there's too much white-on-white crime. There's too much Chinese-on-Chinese crime, or however you want to go with it. And I'm looking at some statistics for 2016. Okay? Black-on-black crime, yes, 90.1% black-on-black homicides here. Then we look at white on white crime, it's at 84% itself. Now, is that good? That's 84% white on white crime. What I'm trying to get at is the devil is no respect of purpose.
Just sure,
like, hey,
that's true.
Hey, and when you look at the mass murderers and all these shooters, a lot of times that's what, white terrorists. So when I'm looking at all these crimes by whites, and then I'm going to say blacks are killing blacks at an inordinate rate than any other race, I don't believe it. What I do believe is this. Because when you look at all statistics, those people that are around each other the most are killing each other the most. So when we look at population density, but you see blacks are living closer in groups, whether it be the projects, whether it be the inner city, whether it be it's condensed population of black folk. We are together, upset, and whatever issues are causing to be upset, and we're killing one another. And when you deal with the population of whites, they're farther apart, whether it be suburbs or whatever else. They're not packed in there like they are in the project. So what I'm saying is, when I'm looking at statistics, yes, there is black-on-black crime, but I think we are being, at the media, keep pushing black-on-black crime to get folks to believe that we are more violent people than anyone else. And you know good and well, blacks are not more violent than any other race.
Okay. Your point is well taken. Let me ask you this, though. If anyone is to resolve or provide solutions to black-on-black crime, who should that be? Should it be the Chinese? Should it be the Hispanic? Should it be the German, or should it be black people?
I'm going to start with where the problem is. It's within our community.
Okay.
We need to be dealing with our community. We need to be policing our community.
Okay. And that's really where we're coming from today, is we realize that it's a great big world out there, right? But I know little man, because I'm like Brendan. I grew up as little man. I was in jeopardy of meeting the same fate as the little man's out there right now in 2017, October 24, 2017. And that's real for me. See, it's talk straight. And y'all bear with me, because I'm going to bring this little brother in here, Young Jeezy, and he's going to kind of explain to you how it's real out there. You know what I'm saying? And what I want us to do, Brendan, is to talk from this lens of reality, because I believe we got the solution. I asked
we
a
do.
question on Facebook, and if you're on Facebook, you can see it. And I asked the question, does anyone have a solution? As I said in my monologue, a lot of folks been talking, a lot of money been spent. In Tennessee, $1.2 billion has been spent to cover education, public safety, law enforcement, as well as supposedly economic development. But little man ain't seen none of that. Don't seem like he is anyway. You understand what I mean? That's why we're having this real conversation. And basically, we want to know is what we're going to do about it. You understand what I'm saying? I got to answer. I'm going to answer the question before the show is over with tonight. But listen, I do appreciate your input, and I think you make a valuable point that it's not just little man or black folk, but we certainly have a real serious issue when it comes to that subgroup.
I think it'd do a better job of solving the problem if we think about the population density and how we can teach one another to get along with one another.
Okay, you make a great point, but you'll notice that in my monologue, I don't know if you caught the monologue, but in my monologue, I did not describe little man as a color. I described little man as a persona who has come from a certain circumstance and who's infected by a socially engineered condition. That's a big difference. If you were to treat somebody with a gunshot wound or with a stab or who said they were sick from ingesting poison, your treatment is going to be different depending on what you're dealing with. Right now, what we're dealing with, this is my position is, and I understand you may not agree with it, but my position is little man's problem, what killed him, is this socially engineered disease. And if we can figure out what the cause is, we can backtrack and figure out what the solution is. What about that, Pastor Waller?
I know that to be true myself about the solution, because there is one. And,
yes, sir.
You know, in relationship with God, you know, I appreciate, you know, what I do know now, because at one point I had no clue. That's the reason why I myself, as the little man, stayed out there so long, captured and twisted. Since I know that there is a solution, it's only fair to admit. See, the first stage of getting free is recognize that there's a way to escape.
Right.
And basically, in how to escape, you have to have the correct information and be willing to follow the instruction. Because what the enemy has done that causes all of those little men, as you were talking about, be captured, they follow the instruction of what's placed before them. In other
that
words, how do you treat a mind that's innocent? Where you
that
show them, you offer them something, And then when they respond in a certain way and they're captured, that means you have their life. Yeah, and see, that's the thing, you get captured. I didn't get captured from the beginning. You know, I got captured when I entered into the captivity.
Okay.
And the captivity did not look like captivity. It did not look like bondage. It looked like joy.
Right.
It looked like fun. It looked like you can celebrate this and that and the other. And so, you know, yes, there's a solution, and I just want to wait and allow the people to share what they feel and things like that. And I'll come back later after I hear some things.
All right.
But
all right. I appreciate it. I want to be rude to any of our guests. 1098, any comment?
Right now, you know, I'm just sitting and listening.
Okay.
But, you know, I can always agree, you know, we can always agree to disagree. I understand statistics.
Sure.
But me living in this skin, they can bring all the statistics that they want, but when I look in my everyday environment, it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And from my view, my point of view, which someone can agree with, it starts at home. I can rear my children to respect everyone. But when my children go out into my so-called brown community, everything is an uproar. Everything deals with antisocial behavior. And concerning statistics that they don't talk about, other races of people treat me better than my own race of people.
Ooh.
This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, my people, the only thing that they come to do to our people is rob, steal, and kill. Now, statistics, they can bring all statistics you want, but when you're inside that war, whether it be in prison, whether it be on the streets, look at it. It's devastating. You know?
Okay.
It is really devastating.
Well taken.
You know?
I look at
when I came up as a child, especially in the 70s, it wasn't all this violence. Television and things in that nature. You know, I never blame it on television. I go back to what you just stated, the condition of that person's mind, whether he be male or female. Get down there in battle and see it and test it firsthand from prison to the streets. Even in prison. White people treat you better than your own black, your own brown brother do. You know, and I mean, it's sad, but it starts at home, and I hold right there.
Okay, well, great point. Let me do this, brother. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Yes, I'm still here.
Listen, I want to pose this question to you, brother. Or give me a couple of minutes. Listen to Young Jeezy, and I got a question for you from that. And the rest of the gentlemen on the panel here, the number is 657-383-0944. Please, we love to entertain your question, your comments. Perhaps you take a different position than we do. We want to hear that as well. At the end of the day, we want to grow from the dialogue. One second here, Brendan.
Yes, sir.
Little man is on the block. He's slanging. It's cold outside, man. Nose running. It's not all in his mouth. And he's shivering. And every time every time somebody ride up, he holler, "You don't need nothing, do you?" Can you blame little man? Can you blame little man?
Actually, you can't. He's a product of his environment. Now, if my environment was all Christian school, and I got a GPA.
Right.
I got everything made for me. Then I'm not gonna be rapping out something that I don't know nothing about. I'm gonna be rapping about me going to a dope Christian all boys school.
Okay,
making 4.0.
Brandon, I don't mean to be rude to cut you off, but it sounds like to me what you're describing is someone who is brought up with certain social value structures. That's what I'm hearing from
Yes,
you.
Sir. Yes, sir. Because you have to understand. Yes, sir. You have to understand. See, when you describe Little Man in a monologue, and what you was trying to explain is Little Man does not have a color. Little Man is everyone. You see what I'm saying? White, black, Mexican. There's a Mexican Little Man right now.
Yeah.
Out here doing everything. So we as not even all as Christians, we as the empowerment and the body of God, we all have to come together as one to understand that. You see, if we go biblical, you see, Little Man was Saul.
Mm.
What was Saul out here doing?
Watch out, Pastor Wise.
But God got tired of all of his little men getting killed. So let me take a little man off the streets and let me show him what he's doing to my people. Maybe little man can grow up and put a suit on and start talking to other people about where I come from.
Do
you see what I'm saying? Like, if you just, again, I say, listen to what everyone have to say. We as people, we have to stop boxing ourselves as, yes, I'm a very happy African-American black man who's taking care of his family, doing what he has to do. I'm tired of my people getting put in a box when the box is bigger than what we see.
I think I told you to take the gloves off. You done that, didn't you? Pastor Waller, what about you going blows, man?
Yes,
sir, I hear him. That's what he's doing. And rightfully so. I mean, that's a good thing. Yes, it is.
Great point. So here's the thing, gentlemen, that I find very interesting for my people. And I've been called black, you know, and when I was running the campaign, I had to tell one of the other candidates who tried to tell me about being black, you know, he's never been black before his life. I said, man, I've been black 3 times. I was born a black baby, grew up a black boy, now I'm a black man. Ain't nothing you can tell me about being black.
That's
you understand what I'm saying? Good or bad. The truth of the matter is this. This is the point I'm trying to make. We've got to be honest with ourselves and with our people about what is causing us to be sick. Now, some of us do well. As Brendan was alluding to, some of us benefit from pro-social instruction and guidance, and we do pretty good. But then other of us don't do so well. You understand what I'm saying? Then there are other of us that we don't benefit from that. Those are the ones that are out there trying to stick that little metal in your stomach saying lay it down, right? Because little man's trying to eat. Little man just trying to survive. Just like young Jesus said, I'm a soul, so you know where to find me? I'll be on that block trying to survive. Now, how can we move him from that block to somewhere else? Look like I got 1080 on the line with, hey, man, how you doing, brother?
All right, how you doing today?
Good. We're talking about little man tonight. What killed little man? And I think we've come into some sort of closure and understanding here a little bit. But we appreciate you joining in tonight. Just get in where you fit in, man. Get in where you fit. Any comments you want? Any questions, comments you have?
No, I'm still listening, man.
Okay, all right. Well, we appreciate you, my friend. Welcome to Talk Straight.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, absolutely.
My question is, but let me first agree. I agree that there's some teaching that got to go on. because it is a culture. More than a color, it's a culture. My question is, you asked where the sickness come from. Okay? You mentioned a scenario about a little man standing on the corner and he's slaying his rock. Where did little man get the rock from?
Great
man,
question.
He gets the rock. Man, he gets the rocks from his friends who was not properly educated. Think about it.
Hold on. Look, can I go to the hood for a minute? Let me show you where he got the rocks from. He got the rocks from Columbia. He got the rock from the airplane. He got the rock from, and this is from my experience in the hood. Okay, let me tell y'all some of my experience in the hood. I'm watching a van come in. I'm watching one of my buds with the boom to the boom to the boom to at the gas station. The man in the van who's a white man came, gave him the package, and he go back off his neighborhood while a little man goes and pours in his own neighborhood. Now,
absolutely.
So what I'm trying to talk about, where did the poison come? The poison came from little man accepting that way out of doing that and willing to poison his own community. That, but he didn't get, he didn't make the stuff. He didn't grow it.
That's true.
He didn't produce it. He didn't bring it in on the plane. He didn't bring it in on a boat. Okay, so there was a concerted effort to do what? Get in the inner city and poison these young brothers. Put them F's on the name of the felonies so they can't vote and all this other kind of stuff. Let me show you another way of where the poison came from. When you hear the President of the United States put out statistics, okay, that whites killed by blacks is 81%. When you look at the FBI statistics, and it actually says it's down to, I got the numbers right here, it's down to 15%, I'm sorry. Then it lets you know that there's a concerted effort to try to make the little man in the hood, in this case, the black little man, look like he is more violent than everybody else when the statistics don't put that out there. Opportunity puts it out there. Okay, well, he's taking the opportunity. How am I going to get out? I'm going to get mine. I'm going to sling it. I'm going to do this, whatever, else, whatever. But he was not the original one that had the drug. There was concerted effort to miseducate little man.
That's true.
Right?
That's
little
true.
Man now then started to destroy his brothers and sisters because he's trying to find a way to get out.
Right.
He's uneducated.
You make,
yeah.
I'm sorry. You raise a great point. In fact, Ossie Davis wrote the preface to a book back in 1970. Entitled We Charge Genocide, and they looked at the Warner Report of how drugs were brought and infiltrated into black communities from 1969 to 1975. And then as he wrote the book, they were identifying, as you're pointing out, the fact that individuals with the wherewithal and the resource brought these things and infected the black community. The question is, what happened to Little Man that his value base, as Brother Brandon was talking about, was not strong enough to allow him to avoid that trap? That's my whole point. See, that's what I'm saying. This ghetto trap
syndrome. Come down
to
individual choice.
Well, hold on 1 second. Ghetto trap syndrome is socially, economically engineered for you to fail and for you to continue in that cycle. Until we break that cycle and until we re-educate our folk, you're going to continue. Those that are affected negatively, adversely, will continue to be the victims of such. That's the whole premise.
Right.
But I think you raise a great point in terms of the fact that you're right. Guess what? We don't make Air Jordans, but we buy them, don't we? And we shoot and kill one another over the phone. Some of us do. Some of us do. Let me say that.
Yeah. But
and what are the reasons that we do that? See, if you want to be honest about it, if you really want to solve the problem of violence, I agree with your premise, and that is it's economically based. When a man is busy creating for himself and sustaining that, he ain't got time for foolishness. He ain't got time to be robbed. Interestingly enough, caller, when you look at the text in Genesis, the fourth chapter, it wasn't but two people out there in the field. Well, three really, Cain and Abel. And Abel looking around like, hey, I don't know what happened to him. You alive, you know what happened. It wasn't but two of y'all out there. You understand what I'm saying? And when a brother come up dead in the hood, who is it that's out there? God is asking, listen, your brother's blood is calling me from the ground. What's going on? You understand what I'm saying?
Oh. Okay.
Well, all...
Brandon, you want to say something?
But,
I'm just sitting back enjoying the conversation right now.
Well, I mean,
I'll comment. May I?
Go ahead, 1098. Go ahead, 1098.
Okay. Again, I'm going to go back to his statistics. So what his statistics is telling me that people of my color should wake up and get themselves together. Just because the dope is out there, that don't mean you have to do dope. You know?
Thank you.
A lot of people, because dope came here, they didn't do dope. You know, irregardless of who bringing the dope here. Now, when you look at these different countries, you have different ethnic groups of people. You know, I mean, they got cahash over here now. Where did that come from? Some part of Africa and things. And then but just because it's out there, though, does not mean that you have to do it. You don't. And like his statistics tell me this, people of my color should wake up and stop killing one another. I'm going to go back to the brother when he mentioned the environment. You know, we have to change the environment. A lot of things going on in our environment. A lot of people don't watch television. You know?
Right.
And
right.
Basically, change the environment. You know, statistics, this is what his statistics tell me, what I've stated and the other doctor, whatever he stated. Change the environment. Change the way we think. Change the way that we dress. I don't blame the white man because I don't have anything to eat. I don't blame the Chinese. I don't blame the Hispanics, the / Indians. I don't blame them. You know?
If anything, we need to be better than them.
Not a matter of better. Hold on one second. We don't want to run over everybody. Will you finish 1098?
Yes, go ahead. Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. 9606, give me one second. What were you saying there, Brother Brendan?
No, I was just saying I feel like we don't need to be better as a people, like better than them as a race. We need to, just like you were saying, embrace our own race and be a better race. You see what I'm saying? Like, as one. It's too much going on, too smart. Man, if we just sit back and talk to an old head or older person, like, and I would like for everyone who's listening, who's from I want to say from 75, who was born from 1975 to 1993, all right? Mm-hmm. I want my generation to hear this. If we just take some time to go volunteer and just sit with an old person, you will be amazed. You will be amazed at just pure knowledge that can be passed down from generation. But because we are all of God's being, different spirits talk to each other, positivity, getting trans down, man, getting passed down. I'm telling you, it will work wonders.
Wow.
Elders, it all goes from the kids we're having now, but it all falls back to what we was learning to raise our kids to go where they need to go. You see what I'm saying? So that's all I have to say on that.
Hold on one second. I'm gonna come back to you in a second. Let me get 9906 right quickly. He was about to say something. Go ahead there, caller.
I just think we have to be aware of all the variables that are there. We can't put it on just parents. We can't put it on just school. We can't put it on just preachers. We can't put it on just politicians. But it is a combination of all that to make up our culture. It's not necessarily the environment. It's the culture that you've been raised up in. But even with that, you know, getting well, you can have one mama raise 5 kids, and each one of them kids choose a different path. You may have 3 of them to choose to do whatever it is in the streets, and a couple of others go on to be engineers or doctors. But it comes down to the individual, but what stimuli, what environment, but what culture do we have around those kids to be successful? And like I said, it was not originated. We got to understand where it's actually coming from. And I say that because a lot of times even our the police and everybody else know where the drugs and stuff are coming from. It's just having the will to deal with what's going on there and having the authority to do it. And sometimes it comes down to just political will. But when you, again, when you got a president that's trying to tell you you ain't worth nothing, how do you say, what the hell you got to lose, and then put out fake statistics. It's a statistic that I have told to come straight from the FBI. I'm not giving you anything fake. I'm not giving you anything, these white supremacist statistics. I'm giving you what came exactly from the FBI. And FBI.
Well, I was, Well, we appreciate
FBI lied.
We need to be aware of all of the variables that are coming at us.
Agreed.
And black people do not do drugs any more than white people do.
But
can
I ask you a question?
Real foolish.
Can I ask you a question? Is it a concern that they do it? Those that do it do it. You said they don't
Everybody.
Do it more than white people, right?
It's not more. I'm just trying to keep things in perspective. They do not do it any more than white. We do need to be dealing with police in our own household. Yes, we do.
Yes.
All right, but we can't think that our people are doing stuff in the worst.
Right, Carla. I wanna emphasize the fact that we're talking about black people not because we hate anybody else, but we're talking about black folk because we love them, and we know what black folk need to do to improve themselves. See, it's not good enough for me to be blessed to have an education or have a certain status in life. And this is what Brendan, our guest, was talking about earlier. There are people who feel like because their children grew up and had the best and the finest of life and they go on, don't have any problem, that's not their problem to deal with. No, you got to, like Du Bois, say, each one teach one. Reach back and pull your brother up. When thou art converted, strengthen. Is that right, Pastor Waller?
That's what the Word of God said now. You know,
that,
if you don't
mind,
that's just what the Word of God said. I mean, this is the best thing about when one happened to become converted. It's a great thing to go and strengthen your brother. I mean, this is
right.
Something that I was just thinking about earlier when we were talking about the solution. And if a person wants to get to the solution, the number one thing you have to do is, first of all, get out of the problem. And tap into the solution. Because the problem is not hard to realize. We know what the
right.
problem is. And see, I was a problem, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I escaped from being the problem. That means
right.
that if anybody looking for the solution, I would try to get with somebody who ever escaped and try to be able to position myself with an open mind to say, now, I'm trying to find out how. Did you escape from being
right.
the problem? That means I have
but
to lose
you.
I used
hey,
to be
I
mean a
cut
drug.
You off, Pastor.
Let
Hold
me finish saying this.
Hold
I,
one second. Go ahead, Pastor. Finish your thought.
To sell drugs. And the drugs that I was selling, I did a lot of harm to my own community. Now, I'm not against no other ethnic group of people. But one thing I didn't do, I didn't serve other people. I served my own people. I put my own people in bondage. That's what I did.
Okay.
So
right.
when I escaped, now I'm ready to go and wake them up because those are the ones that I do. I didn't say it to nobody else, and I'm not against no one else. I just know the harm that I brought forth. Now I've escaped. It don't make no difference how much drugs they bring in the city of Nashville. You know how I am about days, Pastor Dockery. The OJ has a song. Now you better take care your own little corner, your own little spot in the room. So I'm not trying to be anything other than what I am. I know what I did to my community. I know the harm that I brought. And now that I have escaped, I want you to listen to this here. I've been through this before. And in the book of Ephesians, talking about it in chapter 2, it says in verse number 1 and 2, listen to this. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. See, when I was dead, I was doing all manner of things because I didn't have awareness of it. And then it says, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, understand this, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But could you imagine having your mind blind and you can't even see? Well, that was me. But here it is again. Let's go back into solution. I have escaped. Now, whom better to teach you how to be than somebody that just escaped? I mean, this is amazing, man. I mean, you're talking about something that young brother's talking about right now, and he made known of if people in the era of a certain age that he mentioned get with somebody who had knowledge. That was an interesting statement, because that's what it takes, an open mind to say, show us how you got free, because it's not easy.
And that's exactly what I was saying. Yes, sir. That's exactly what I was saying.
I was addicted to money, and that money caused me to do so many things that caused big-time harm, you see? So it's a lot of weight that I had to carry around each and every day, knowing that I have the solution. And this is nothing egotistical or boasting or anything. Let's just say what the Word of God is telling us tonight. There is a solution.
Okay.
And are you willing to escape the problem? One more thing I'm going to say, then I'm going to turn it back over to you. Just say, for instance, it says in Job chapter 1, and in the latter part of verse 15, he said, and I only am escaped alone to tell you. Now, in other words, I've escaped, or whoever escaped, and now whoever escaped me to tell someone else, and all of a sudden you see the joy and you see the community being back restored like they really deserve to be, because someone escaped and are willing to tell people how they escape. Now, if you don't want it, you can't blame the person who's willing to give it up. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
And that's right now. There's a lot of churches, my brother, that are captured and don't even know it. They are asleep in the church, a lot of them. And then here you got some brothers out in the world on the ground with the solution, and they refuse. And I say, and they refuse, because whatever's causing them to not say, well, I'm not going to go and get with him. And, yes, I heard he got a book that can help so many young people. Listen, man, that's a solution. That's part of the solution. It's a tool to help the city of Nashville. And I'm not saying this to belittle anywhere else, no one that's living somewhere else. I just know in my own little corner of the world, I'm fighting extremely hard to do what I can do. You know what I mean? And that's just the way it is. I like the little brother's statement that he made earlier.
He nailed that. Yes, sir. Let me do this. I do want to ask, and I think Brother Charles is with us. Jump in when you like to, Charles. But our guest tonight is Brendan Orr from Nashville. He was the one that dropped that bomb on us. We appreciate that, Brendan. I want to ask you this question, but I want to give you a second to hear. This young brother out of, I believe it's Laconia, Georgia, down there somewhere around here. He's a rap artist, and they got into this little beef and what have you. And I believe he has summarized the position of young guys. Now, his language is a little strong, but we grown men here. We grown folk here. His language is a little strong. But listen to what he's saying. And, Brendan, I want to ask you a question about his thesis from what he's saying here. This is Pastor Troy, and this song is entitled I'm Ready.
Yeah, we ready. Everybody's a little different in this time. You know what I'm saying? We flip it in Creole this time, you know? You know what I'm saying? Just why I'm missing the stairs, you know? I dropped up to the room.
Just so likely, a million less.
explain to me, like I'm 3 years old, what would make a young cat who hadn't reached 25 years old pray to God, Father, come and take me? I'm ready. Should he be talking about that?
It's amazing that he see it like that to me, honestly. I mean, what he's saying, that was my song I get up this to every morning. I remember when that song came out, I used to bump that song faces. I mean, I felt everything, every verse in that song. We read it. Fed up. We tired of living like that. I mean, we recognize and we see stuff. But at the same time, we still go back to work and still do what we got to do. We don't do nothing different. Though. So I felt that song. I like that song, Pastor Troy. I remember that.
Brent, was that Brendan or Charles?
Charles.
Okay. Brendan, you still with me, brother? Brendan, are you still with me? Okay, I'm not sure what's going on there with his connection. 1098.
Yes, go ahead. I wanted to comment anyway.
Go ahead.
I'm really not into much rap, but as long as we, you know, when it comes to dope or whatever, as long as we sit back and point the finger at the white man or whatever, there's always going to be a problem. The problem is not getting solved. We know how drugs are coming to the United States. And a vast amount of it come across the border from Mexico through their tunnels and things and that nature. And, you know, Hispanics are killing these Hispanics, you know, on a large scale. But my main concern is my people. Listen, and you can attest to this, and everybody that's listening can attest to this. Just because that dope was here, everybody did not use dope. Everybody did not drink, you know, until they, you know, coming up as a child, even to their adulthood. It's all in what we choose to do. You know, a white man is not the only one bringing drugs into the United States. The Mexicans don't get the white man's permission to bring drugs through them tunnels across that border, you know. But, you know, solving the problems, you know, don't worry about who's bringing it in here. We have to worry about keeping the people off of it. Going back to
the
trap, keeping them out of the trap. You know, like Reverend Wallace say, you know, we can talk about who bringing, we can bring all the statistics we want concerning dope and things in that nature, but we have to tackle the problem from the inside, reaching the people, talking to the people, you know, like Reverend Wallace, trying to keep them out of the trap. I have two sisters and brothers, never smoked or drank. Again, the environment is a testament to a lot of people. Just because it was out there, that don't mean that they did it. But the ones that are trapped into that situation, these are the ones that you try to pull out. Don't worry about who's bringing it to the country. Worry about keeping it out of the black man's system.
Man.
Let me give 9906 an opportunity. I think he had a comment or a rebuttal. 99, go ahead.
I don't have any kind of rebuttal. I agree with half of what he say. I don't agree with when he's saying, don't worry about the rest. When you're dealing with an epidemic, you got to deal with every issue that's coming down on. It's not just a mama issue. It's not just a daddy issue. It's not just a church issue. It's not just a police issue. It's not just a white man bringing in issue. It is all of that. We have to not ignore part of it. All right, we got to know all of it. If the product is not there in the community, okay, we got a better chance of keeping people from getting to the product. All of that is a part of the problem. We can't just say we got to just do this. No, it's not just that. It is not just the church, but part of it is the church, because we must educate them to the fact that yes, we know the solution. The solution is right there in the blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor said earlier that he could not. He worried about his community, which is great because that's what he came out of. He know what he did to the community. He know he was used to infect the community. And I remember what Harriet Tubman said. She said, "If I could have convinced more slaves that they were slaves, I could have freed thousands more." A lot of people don't realize what bad shape they in. Right, and I believe that pastor is going back in, just like Harry Tubman, trying to pull people out of this don't agree with him, but that's not the only angle we got to deal with. We got to deal with the angle politically. We got to deal with the angle socioeconomically. We got to deal with the angle from every issue that's coming into us. So, yes, who would bring it in there is an issue because we know that the enemy is trying to destroy us. Put up your barriers, your walls against the enemy. Whatever, whoever.
Exactly.
Great point.
That was my point. That was exactly my point. When it comes to drugs, it's only people that focus on the white man bringing it in here. No, it's more than the white man bringing it in here. You know. But the thing is this: try to stop it before it starts. Take it. You know, your immediate surroundings. You start there. They branch out. Each one teach one. You know,
this
is what it is. Because those Hispanics bring more drugs in this country than any other race of people.
Yeah. Let me do this, gentlemen. I promise to do this before the show is over. I noticed that we're at 8:06 and time is getting away from us. Let me reiterate the problem, okay? And the problem is the disease that I made reference to that was socially economically engineered. It's called ghetto trap syndrome, GTS. It's a socially economically engineered disease. And here's some of the factors of the disease that you have to deal with. Where one is born in a broken home, lives in a poor community, receives substandard formal education, exposed to acts of violence, therefore feels that they must be on the ready to kill or be killed, and that violence is perceived as a necessary tool of survival. Now, I asked a question on Facebook, what is the answer? And if y'all would bear with me just for a second, I'm going to give that before the show is over with. And I'll post this on Facebook as well for those that are following us there. Now, Dr. Ruben Dockery is prescribing the following antidote for little man's disease, GTS. One, a dose of reality check about who engineered the condition. Two, creation of a pro-social and culturally relevant clinical environment whereby little man can be deprogrammed from his hustle in the street and his self-destructive behaviors. And three, change in our cultural theology, educational practices, and economic philosophy. I believe that that'll get little man a little bit better in terms of an answer to how do we address little man's problem. All right, go ahead. Somebody was trying to say something.
I do, but I see on TV, I see how they kind of glorify that at a young man's age, too. It's like you between them teenage years and before you get to like 25, they kind of glorify a young person having money. But realistically, it's not real life that you're going to have that much money at that age. But they strive to get that money, and they glorify it. So there's no jobs out there that's going to provide that money, and it's kind of forcing them kids to go down that avenue. And the bad part is, and I ain't talking about all females, females support that behavior, so it's kind of hard to get out that behavior when you've been supported and loved by ones who's causing you to fail.
Agreed.
Acting like that. You become successful in the street because they glorify that the women love you. They pulling all on you. They love that type of stuff. So how you going to get away from that? How do you program somebody from not being successful when they are?
Hey, Charles, when I was a supervisor at a youth detention facility, young boys would tell me all the time about great grown women licking on them and kissing them so they can get that money from them. You spot on, brother. It is a subcultural ill that is tearing us up from the inside out. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
Sir, right on target right there, man. It's amazing, but that's the truth.
And Here's the good news. we're in a position where we can do something for ourselves. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Y'all hear what I said? Now, I said we, Brandon, but if it don't turn out to be French, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do the Indian thing. I'm going to do all me. Right. I'm going to do my part. Are y'all walking with me?
Yes,
I would like to go French and say we, but if I can't get French, I'm going to go Indian, do me. Is that all right?
Yeah. That's all right.
But there's hope. Little man ain't got the title.
I think little man have a chance if all the elders start stepping in and doing their part, because you're going to have to provide something in for that. You can't just take away the money without putting money right in place of it, because that's the whole thing. If you can see into the lifestyle and do it legit, then I don't have no problem with it, man. That's the only thing. People just want the money. It ain't about the drugs. They'll sell anything out here as long as it's making money. They just got to figure out where to use their mindset.
Come on,
and do a positive. Do I have to get the same amount of money, or if not more?
Right.
You're not showing that on TV, though. You're not showing that.
You know what I discovered, Charles? Black folk in particular. I discovered black folk in particular. We give a lot of money that we don't count up in church and pay it in taxes to the government. Neither one of those entities are coming up with a solution to the problem that's killing black folk, though. I'm not slamming them. What I'm saying is, here's an opportunity. Follow your dollars and make sure you use your dollars wiser. If you're giving it,
right,
you ought to be able to get something in return. Have I got a witness, anybody?
Yes,
I totally agree.
Yes, sir.
You should better sign up where you want your tax money to go towards. It shouldn't just be out there. We don't know who it's supporting. It might be supporting somebody who trying to put me in the trail.
Well,
if my money going towards the government and the government bringing the drugs, I'm making them more successful bringing more drugs.
Watch out now. Whoever it is that engineered this problem. Right. That's right. See, this is what 9906 is saying. He's right. This thing didn't just pop out the sky. It didn't just get here yesterday. Somebody been intentionally infusing these
things. Well, on no boat. You can't go no cocaine, no coke police over here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Now, Charles, I must admit, I was invited to go fishing, and I went on a pretty nice boat with this fella. But I didn't own the boat. He owned it, though. You understand what I'm saying?
But still, man, that TV bring a world to you from across in a whole other country. They bring it over here. Oh, it's amazing how something can happen in another city and can come to your city through television, though. Some of them ideas are not from your environment. It's from other environments. Quit exposing us to new environments. We don't need that. They should be able to put
I told you we're visual. I told you we're a visual thing, generation now. Like, What we see is pleasing to the eye. That's what we want. That's what we need. You see what I'm saying? If we see the destruction, not if we go and show what we see on an everyday basis and see what's really destroying our race,
right?
Put that out there and not glorify, but have the mentality to destroy what's going on. There go the solution right there to help a little man.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I think even the church slipped. Yeah?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Even the church has slipped in a couple of areas. He just brought it up, the visual. Right now, one thing we did not talk about was the social media aspect of how it's now influencing our kids in our community, and how they use it to build up the games as well as, you know, recruit game-wise and promote the materialism as well. But I think the church messed up in two ways for this generation. Number one, we shunned rap music instead of embraced it. All right? And when we shunned rap music, those kids got into the rap. They started listening to the J.G.'s, the Eazy-E's and all them, and Ice-T's, and then started moving on to the Jesus and all that. So they can quote the Jesus and all that, and they flock after the Jesus and all that. They want the cars, they want the bling-bling, they want the this, they want the that, okay, from what they see on their videos and from their social media and all that. All right, so the church, instead of embracing that music and making it part of the church, we wanted to hold on to some of the, you know, the old music type, and we'll not let them in there. When really it's the lyrics is what matters, not the beat, not the whatever, it's what's been said. So I can glorify God with a beat, or, you know, rap beat or whatever else, just like I could back with the blues. All right, that's one. But in the other, the church has been slow to jump on the social media. And you'll find out that even Dylan Roofing, who went down there and killed all them people in Charleston, or was it South Carolina, at the church, all right, he was indoctrinated on the internet.
Okay.
And he says he was trying to, he went and killed all those people because he was trying to start a race war. And the reason why I started out the way I did is because he was motivated by videos that were being shown of black people being violent to white people. And he was saying that they were going to, that's when he started talking about this revolution, and that he was going to pop off this revolution to get back at the blacks for all the violence that they're doing against whites. And what I'm saying is we've got a president of the United States who is feeding that by giving out lying statistics saying blacks kill more whites than anything. When he's fueling the fire, that does not help the case. And that's what I'm saying, we have to deal with it from every angle that the devil is trying to use. Because the devil's not just going to come at one angle. The devil's going to come in any kind of way he can destroy us.
Well, now, let me
say
this.
We have to speak truth against even what the president says. If he's saying that 90-some% of the white people being killed by black, that's a bald-faced lie.
Hold on. I don't know where that came from, but let me be clear to the listening audience. And I stated some numbers in my monologue.
No, I'm not talking about your numbers. I'm talking about the president's numbers.
Okay. You know what? He going to do his thing. He ain't nothing but a New York hustler, man. I ain't got time to even think about that cat. I'm more concerned about my people.
But what I'm saying, he just talked about your people. He just lied on your people. We can't know what he's saying. We got to tell the truth against what he's saying.
But you know what, though? What I'm glad about is he don't control what I do. He can lie all he want to, but he don't control what I do. And that's why I ain't even got time to be thinking about what he's talking about. Because what he says doesn't even faze me. Now, he is the president of the United States, and I am looking.
You're trying to save your people.
My point is, caller. If black folk, let me be specific, Negro, black, colored, African-American folk would stop training their energy on being mad at Donald Trump and focus on the social economic conditions and how to get out of those negative traps, they would be a lot further than what they have been in the last 9 months.
The part of that is how you advertise and how you market. If he is marketing against
but it
you,
goes back.
If your kids are listening to this miseducation, you have to teach the truth. You cannot, I mean, we don't have to just fight one entity. Satan is coming at us in many different ways.
I hear what you're saying. Brandon, were you trying to answer correctly?
And forget about the progress and prosperity for our community. Our ambition must be broad enough to include the aspiration and needs of others.
That's why we're doing it. We're only talking about how to help our people.
We can't disregard. You can't disregard the lives of your politicians. That's one of the reasons why I have issues trying to teach even cyberbullying, because I cannot teach the kids not to cyberbully, because they're saying, well, that's the status right now. That's what the president doing. Why can't I quote what the president is doing? You got to deal with it. We can't just sit around and ignore him like he's not there.
All right. Hold on 1 second. I don't want to go off on another tangent. Let me get Brandon back. And Brandon, what were you gonna say, bro?
Oh man, I was just listening to what my man had to say.
All right, let's bring the conversation back home, gentlemen. Let's bring it back home. What we're talking about is now we know what killed Little Man, and I'm stating that it's GTS that killed him. And I'm saying, I've said it to you already, and I stand on that there is a solution. The solution involves us in recognizing first the nature of the problem, deprogramming Little Man from the destructive behavior, and changing the way we look at things theologically, educationally, as well as from an economic lens. If we focus on what we need to do for ourselves, we have little
exactly.
time to be worried about what some monkey is doing in a tree.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Monkey sitting on the rail track. What happened to that monkey when he was sitting on that railroad track? Got a tail cut off then. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
See, this is the thing, you know. The president of the United States, he's going about his everyday business, you know what I'm saying, getting his 100, you know, getting his 1,000 minutes of fame. You know, you
right.
can't focus on him. You know, like you said, we got to, hey, it's full speed ahead. You know what I mean? Like, we know dope is here. Dope is always going to be here. But, you know, getting the message out, reaching the people, trying to get them to keep that out of their mouths, out of their systems, out of their arms. You know, this is the thing. You know, yes, it's here. You can't, you're not going to stop it from coming here, but, you know, if we can, you know, as stated, you know, get with the people. Talk to them about it. You know, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, we know it's here. I'm not worried about how it's getting here. I'm more worried about keeping it out of people's system and our hold.
That's much better that way.
Listen, gentlemen, we're down to our eight-minute mark. Pastor Waller playing with the clock again. I don't know why you keep doing that. But we're down to our eight-minute mark. 9906, I appreciate your position, and I believe that we agree that as a multifaceted issue that we got to look at. It's not just one thing. And I certainly appreciate your position that we don't want anybody, including the president, steering people down a rabbit hole. I believe that that's what I surmise from what you're saying in essence, and I certainly agree and embrace that thought. Let me give my guest, Brendan Orr, an opportunity to kind of offer some final thoughts and wrap it up. Brendan, thank you for joining us, first of all. What's your view on how we go and get Little Man now? How do we approach Little Man?
Man, we approach Little Man like a little gentleman. Know that he's a human being before anything, and know that we have to reiterate that God still has his back, no matter
wow.
what.
Wow.
And no matter what's the product of your environment, know that you are still God's child. And the forces and the fences that Jesus has died for, those fences and those angels, they're going to take care of you.
Okay. I believe, Pastor Waller, that might preach right there, man. What you think? Pastor Waller, you there?
Yes, sir. Hey, brother, look at that. I thank God for Brother Brendan, man, and God for everybody that had something to say. And, you know, it's one thing that I always appreciate, you know, about being in the kingdom of God system is
yes,
able to recall. Remember when I wasn't a part of doing his will, meaning that I was doing the devil's will. I was doing the enemy's
mm-hmm.
will. So that's what the trap is all about. I think Brother Outcast put emphasis on it, you know, about sharing the solution, you know, and I don't mind sharing the solution because I know I escaped the trap. And,
right.
I like to say this because it's very important to me to do so. And Pastor Dockery, I thank Brother Charles, you know, and the other brother that was on, man. But as I stay humble daily and realize the power of what the enemy is doing to people who don't know any better, it's almost like making a mockery out of people, you know, that's willing and ready, able, got just what it takes, you know, and don't mind giving it up with no charge. And, you know, it weighs pretty heavy on me, so I'm going to share this right here, if you will. The Bible says, go home to your friends and tell them what I have done for you and how I've had compassion on you. And this is the thing that happened with the individual he was talking to. The Bible says, and he went and he told his friend. And I didn't know I was going to have to tell, you know, a larger audience. I was just going to tell my friends, which was in my neighborhood, in my community. And if everybody on every side of town in Nashville at a brawl that's got a community that they care about and they have a solution, simply go to somebody. And what I did when I told people that I grew up with, now they are free. But let's just say had I not told them, what would that have been? Would that have been disrespectful to God? Or would it have been selfish on my part? I mean, I don't know what you may call it, but to me, you know, I felt pretty bad knowing what I had done to my community. So it was only fair for me to say, well, at least I did go tell my friends. And my friends had a hard time in the beginning because they couldn't believe that I was free from that stuff, man, because I made it so joyous looking and feeling and thinking, you know. And then all of a sudden I'm telling them, hey, man, I'm free from that. I don't do it anymore. Even if they had a hard time. But through the process, a lot of those guys are free now, man. And I just had a moment when I was thinking about that. I was like, man, just think if everybody who solution would go and just tell somebody.
I don't mean to cut you off. What's dope about what you're saying is Pastor Docker just preached on that last Sunday. We call that the Lazarus syndrome. Now, think about how your testimony to save other people. Now think about the when the other people who are looking at what you had to say, it goes hearsay. See, people have to understand a ripple in the ocean starts from one drop.
Yes, sir. Think
about that.
Yes,
sir. So what you're saying is you are starting to be a vessel and bless other people. And me personally, I want to tell you, thank you for letting me hear that, and thank y'all for letting me be a part of this.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Glad
you're
to have
welcome.
You.
Yeah.
Glad to have you. Well,
thank
you. Man, listen, we're down to 2 minutes more. let me, 9906, right quickly, any final thought, man, before we leave? Thank you for joining us tonight.
Enjoying the conversation, have grown from the conversation. And appreciate y'all, gentlemen. We all seem to be fighting for the same goal. And sometimes we're looking at it from different perspectives, but we're all serving the same God and hey, at war against the same enemy, trying to save the souls of anybody that's willing to listen. So thank all y'all, and hey, I just enjoyed the conversation today. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. Get out and vote.
Okay.
Pray
all right,
guys, get them else.
We done got down to the point where we got to get out of here. Charles, Outcast, bless you, man. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Brendan, thank you again. We have to get you back again. And as always,
yes, sir.
We appreciate you. We'll be back this Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m., Lord willing. And we endeavor to live stream again. But with that, we're going to go ahead and cut out now and leave with a positive thought. For tonight, a message for a son.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters. And boards torn up, and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on, and reaching ladders, and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy,